The Space Case Sarah Show with the space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin. Who is Space Case Sarah?
Spunky, edgy, smart, funny, and a rebel feminist.
Now, witness it yourself on IROC Space Radio.
Hello, hello, space enthusiasts. Welcome to another episode of the Space Case Sarah Show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on IROC Space Radio. We are returning from a brief hiatus. Not that you, the listener, would have even known that we were on a hiatus for a week because we plan ahead like that. But our friend and colleague and dive buddy, Kavi, just got back from a dive trip. So welcome back.
Welcome back, Kavi.
Yes, he
it's
says.
It's nice to be back here above the surface.
Yes. Yep. You shared some pictures of the wonderful logo under the water, which I appreciate.
That was awesome. Was it turtles all the way down? Did you see?
There was not a single damn turtle, and I am so disappointed. No. I was looking out for them.
Take that, flat earthers. He looked.
it just means I have to dive again soon because some other people who I know went diving around the same time and they saw bunches of turtles, hordes of turtles, clusters of turtles, and nothing.
Maybe the turtles just don't like you. They were like, that man from the land down under.
A school, a murderer.
There was one point where the dive master thought that he saw a shark, a reef shark, because he's doing this whole, hand signal. It's scuba diving for people listening at home. Right. It's all hand signals. And so it's this kind of like a hand straight up on your head. And he's doing this hand signal and I'm right behind him and he's doing this. I'm like, okay. Calm your breathing. Don't freak out. Over there in the distance, I see this kind of elongated white blur that ended up just being a piece of coral. It was one piece of coral, and I was so excited. So no sharks, no turtles, lots of fishies, lots of swimming.
Sure.
But yeah, it was fun.
Well, I'm glad to hear, though, that you're saying that you were maybe excited to see a shark, because I know that when you moved to Australia, you were a little nervous about diving for shark. purposes. So way to go. Way to face those fears.
I built my way up. There was some sharks that I saw on my first dive in Australia called Port Jackson sharks. And they're kind of like, the baby shark song. They're like grandpa shark. They're kind of like a little bit smaller, brown, shrivelly. They look like they probably have, blunted dentures rather than sharp teeth. So I was fine with those. So I'm
like the bunny hill of shark spotting, right? It's like the lowest level to spot a shark.
Something like that.
Well, anyway, welcome Benjamin, who had a bit of technical difficulties at the beginning jumping in here, but we're glad to have you with us. And get out. Just get out.
I will never forgive you.
As always, Space Case Sarah is completely oblivious to the element of the week, the theme of the show I am aware of. Although, you mentioned this one theory and I had actually had to go look it up because I hadn't heard about it yet. So I'm excited to talk about the space junkie theory. Junkie is probably not the right word. But anyway, what is the element of the week? What element are we studying today?
Manganese.
Oh, that's right. You said that. Gosh, I am a space case. Sorry.
Yes.
Hence the name. We got it.
Manganese. And so I guess fun fact science. Take it away.
My fun fact about manganese is actually more of a history fact than a science fact per se.
I love it.
It was the fact that manganese or manganese dioxide is the main kind of compound that was used to do all those crazy cave drawings in the south of France that they found that are like, I think the oldest ones are like 30,000 years old, but the famous ones from Lascaux in southwest France are like 17,000 years old, and they found around these caves these giant blocks of pyrolusite or manganese dioxide, these like kind of thick black blocks that were used for these cave paintings, and supposedly they were also used for fire starting. That was just kind of cool to me to like be able, the fact that we can identify, like, basically, like, what the tools, what the paint of, you know, these ancient ancestors was. So yeah. That's awesome. My fun fact.
I like it. And there's a beautiful video about those cave paintings, by the way, by Kurzakat, right? Am I pronouncing that right? It's a science. Kurzakat? Sure.
Like that.
Don't ask us to spell it right now on the spot because we can't be sure how to pronounce it. But there is a really great video by this group on YouTube talking about those cave paintings and kind of the history of it. And it's a beautiful story. So I encourage you, if you can figure out from how we pronounced it to spell it, to go look it up on YouTube.
Benjamin. And help sign our petition to make Kurzakat an acceptable word in Scrabble.
Benjamin, what do you have for us today?
For our manganese episode, which will be airing on February 4th. Happy February 5th, anyway. Astronaut birthday to Mary Louise Cleave, who flew on 2 shuttle flights.
Woo.
And February 4th, everybody sit down. Everyone get up. Happy birthday.
Oh, my God.
To Clyde William Tombaugh. Happy birthday, Mr. Pluto Discoverer guy.
Wow.
Happy Everybody, birthday. What you doing right now? Pull over, get out of your car.
Oh my God.
Start dancing on the street.
Like, the police ask. Do you need to take off your hat, Benjamin, and like put it on your heart and just like wipe a tear? Like,
I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Sing a song for Pluto.
Happy birthday to Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered the planet Pluto.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, you.
You are welcome to come on our show and debate that.
Dwarf planet.
Stop it.
Speaking of, in a more somber shift, though, we're recording right at the tail end of the astronaut memorial week, in remembrance week of, unfortunately, all of the astronauts that we have lost to the United States Space Program lost their lives within about the same span of a week of each other, give or take. And so there's a week that they kind of set aside at NASA to honor the lives that were lost in the pursuit of space exploration. And I guess this is our acknowledgement to that mm-hmm. as well. Columbia, Challenger, and Apollo 1. We definitely offer our condolences, but we honor their sacrifice because we know that all of those people who died in those tragic accidents did not give a second thought about the risks that they were taking on. So
it's actually the 20th anniversary of the Columbia shuttle disaster, February 1st, 2003. And it's it really is incredible, the sacrifice that these humans made for the sake of science and the kind of forefront of human exploration. So, yeah, definitely worth noting. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to talk about, like, essentially space debris, our space pollution. That's what we're going to talk about today, because there are so many things that I didn't even really realize. Like, there's a lot of people doing some work on trying to figure out what are the long-term consequences of us polluting our upper atmosphere, planetary spaces. So I had just actually had a super specific advertisement on my Instagram not too long ago from a company who makes these customized, like, projector globes, and you can program them to do a multitude of things. And one of the things in the demo, though, that they showed was, like, the accumulation, like those dots of space debris and how much it starts building up. And it's truly staggering when you think about the first thing we sent up, Sputnik. What was that, 1959, something like that? And now the amount of space junk, if you actually saw it graphed around the planet, you're kind of like, I can't even see a continent like in its entirety. It's just bah, 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 bah. It's like the Earth has chicken pox severely. And I, you know, and I had a kid ask me a question in an outreach recently, and they asked me, like, why do we have to leave so much space junk behind? And I was like, you know, kiddo, that's a great question. There's just really no solution, right? I mean, we didn't really come up with a plan when they first started launching stuff into space. I don't think that they realized how out of hand this was going to get.
Quite.
I think the problem is, you know, like with a lot of things related to space, it requires serious international collaboration. And the things that we've been able to do in space until now really just speak volumes about the incredible efforts that, you know, international negotiation teams have put in. Like, if you had gone back 50 years ago and told, you know, anyone in either America or the Soviet Union at the time, hey, we're going to have an international space station with Americans and Russians and people from all other countries living together, they'd be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
Or the same thing in Russian, which would be, yeah, my Russian is something, something, enough, something.
But... yeah. I don't even know how to imitate a Russian accent. Like,
I could, but I'm not going to.
I hope you caught that reference because that was like a really old YouTube. Yes.
I'm tired.
I am tired.
The missiles.
The file is yourself. I'm sorry, but this is where we need a spot on our website to reference all the things we're referencing.
We should.
Oh god, this is like it's like OG YouTube viral. You know, would have to say I am a product of my time, and I was in college when YouTube and Facebook came out. So like. I know. I'm an elder millennial. I know the legends of yore. But space junk. Keeping on topic here. Right.
A topic? Can you...
Oh, what? Yeah, right. We have a theme sometimes. What? We stick to it sometimes. The concepts, the way that... I think that's a great point. Not just like the accumulation of space junk, but like the way that our space programs... have moved forward in such a rapid state. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like it's that horse in the cart thing. Like it, how do we prepare for the future when the future is pretty much outracing the thing, like the methods of what we need it to do? Like, for example, having rockets that can be reused and come back down. Only until now, you know, we actually have the ability to do that. And I would say, though, that that's something that probably should have been around by the Apollo era, shuttle era for sure, right? But we weren't there yet.
Humanity's always kind of like that with technology, right? Where we're kind of sprinting before we can crawl and, you know, tripping over ourselves as we go and not really being aware about the other people who are trying to do similar things around us. And so it's kind of like now we can turn around and say, huh, we should have done that in a much more responsible way. And at the time, it was like, we have to beat the Russians. We got to get up there. Like
that's exactly how it sounded, by the way. That was recording. Yeah. That wasn't
it was a recording.
An accent.
Wow.
That stereotyped my entire country.
that was fantastic. Can we hear your Russian now? so that was American.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my god! Okay, I'm gonna cut us off. First of all, as a reminder, we are all on social media. Why you would want to follow us? I'm not entirely sure, but we're all on social media.
We're adorable.
I'm Space Case Sarah. You can find me as such on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all of the platforms. Gentlemen, introduce yourselves. Benjamin, why don't you start?
Hi, I'm Benjamin from Science Actually. You can find me at Science Actually. com or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or TikTok. Just look for Science Actually.
It's quite the emphasis on the T syllable.
Twitter. Yes. I'm
on the Tubby tweets.
Rose. You can find me also on the tweets. Fun fact science with Covey on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. All the good time wasters. You can find me there saying silly things, posting silly things, and occasionally doing science-related things.
Which, by the way, this gentleman got accepted into a PhD program, so congratulations.
How you doing, Doc? Hey, Doc.
You are more legitimate scientist than us here. So,
than me.
But yet he's like, I post memes. It's great. We love it. We are also representing iRock Space Radio, whether you are listening to us on the station, which we greatly appreciate if you are doing so, or listening to this as a podcast after the fact. Please do not forget to head over to the iRock Space Radio's website where you can sign up for a crew club, get a sweet free t-shirt. We have hats for sale and we have other shows for you to check out. So go be our guest and explore the universe of iRock Space Radio.
Be our guest.
We're going to take a break and we'll come back with a musical number. And so you are listening to the Space Caseer show with my space nerds, Kavi and Benjamin, here on iRock Space Radio.